Psycho Man.
I have a half a bag of Fritos, some pretzel bites.
Why?
Wow. That's
why? Hot. Why?
And I had this like mushroom lentil bolognese.
What? Damn. That doesn't sound very hearty at all.
The mushroom lentil bolognese wasn't bad.
Okay.
That was hearty, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretzel bites and.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. We'll get this started so you guys can. Get out. Y'all don't sound very enthused, so we'll just get into it. Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to the Motorcycle Men Podcast, episode 414, and we're all gathered here in the V-Twin Cafe in sunny downtown Cranford, New Jersey, where the temperature is an abysmal 32 degrees, right? Something like that?
Yep.
35. I'm sorry, it says 35. I don't know if I believe
it. I'll tell you what it is by me. No. It was snowing here, actually, earlier.
Yes, it was.
Oh, my God.
It is currently 30.
30? So the weather app is lying. Weather app says
it depends on where you have it.
Well, yeah, because it's showing up as, even though I selected Cranford, it's showing up somewhere in Linden, but that's okay. Wow, damn. You know, and the funny thing is we're not much colder down here where we are.
Warmer, you mean?
We're not much warmer. Not much warmer, I should say. We're at 34.
Yeah, we're 33 here right now in Westfield.
Yeah, see, so there isn't much difference. Your weather is our weather and vice versa. So, I don't know, maybe because the taxes is a little different.
Yeah, there you go. That's the right answer.
Yeah. Interesting.
Rich people like you two can live up there.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah, you rich people.
Tim, did you golf today?
No, Tim, you didn't golf today, right?
No, I haven't golfed in over a month because of my issues.
No.
Yeah. And what's interesting thing is I don't have any heat in my house right now.
Why?
Still, well, because our heater broke. So last week, so it's been over a week now, and we called the warranty company, and they sent a dude out. And the dude said, you need a new gas valve, and one of the circuit boards in the system is dead, so we're going to have to replace those. So we'll get the claim going, and then hopefully we'll have you heat by next week. So this was on Tuesday of last week. So it was a Tuesday?
Well, none of your services there work fast at all.
No, they're not in a hurry at all down here. So we didn't hear anything from anybody, and I tried to call these people several times. I never got any answer. But so finally, I called them again tonight, and I finally got a hold of them, and they said, "Yeah, we're dealing with the warranty company right now, so they're trying to get it resolved, and hopefully, we see somebody shows up here, hopefully tomorrow or Friday, and tomorrow or Thursday, and fixes the heat." So, yeah. So in the meantime, I got the fireplace going. And we got the temperature inside the house today topped out at 64. So
that's not terrible.
No, it's not terrible, but you know now that's 64 in the hallway where the thermostat is. But when you get to the back of the house, the furthest point from the fireplace, which by the way we shut off at night, in the bedroom it's probably down in the upper 50s. So when I put it this way, when I came out this morning, it was 57 in the hallway. So a little chilly, just a tad.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Of course, it goes out in the coldest time of the year.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you know, it's not going to break in November or October. You know, no, of course not. No, it's going to be coldest temperature. So, yeah, hopefully we'll have that repaired and taken care of very soon, over the next day or two. So, yeah, here we are back again, and December 3rd coming up on Christmas. Everybody's ready for Christmas, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody's got their houses decorated and getting all ready for Santa to come visiting. No. So, Justin, do you do the whole Christmas decoration Santa thing and all that?
We did, we just put up a Christmas tree 2-3 days ago, whatever it was.
Oh, you said you put up Chris's tree.
Yes, I did. Chris, you can get it whenever you want. Yeah, we did that, like I said, like 2-3 days ago.
Right.
It's really the first time that we've been able to do it, because the last place that we were in was not big enough for us to have a tree that we wouldn't be like walking.
Right.
Like, it'd be like we would have had to put it like in the middle of the fucking room. We'd have to be walking around it. Like, it would have been insane. So now that we've got a larger place.
Yeah.
One of the things that we were able to do was put up a Christmas tree. So we haven't finished unpacking. And we have lots of moving boxes. So I'm going to put them in front of the Christmas tree and make it look like we had a crazy Christmas.
That's cheating, but I guess it will have to do. You know, hey. So anyway, so I am Ted, your host here in the V2N Cafe. And I am here in the corner booth, of course, with Timbuktu, as always.
Hello.
You know, I'm going to have to change one of your sounds, Tim. I'm going to take off the airplane. I'm going to make it a golf swing. We'll do that.
Yeah.
And we got, of course, we got Chris Joker Nipples. Yeah. And naturally, we got Justin Brown. Up. So.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Anyway, so as you know, we're coming up on the Christmas season. We're coming up. We're here. Thanksgiving is done with. I guess everybody got sufficiently stuffed during Thanksgiving last week. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Good. I was over your house.
Tim was here, and we had plenty of leftovers for everybody. Did you guys? Are you guys still eating your leftovers from Thanksgiving?
I finished my leftovers last night.
Actually. Oh, wow. Okay. How about you, Chris?
I still have stuffing, but I haven't had any.
Oh, really? Wow.
I just made my own turkey today.
Oh, wow. You made a whole turkey today?
Just for me.
Just for you.
Well, the wife's going to Texas tomorrow, and I'm going to be home by myself for 6 days. So
uh-oh. Tim's...
I'm going to have chicken. I'm going to have turkey sandwiches for the next 5 days.
Tim's going to be unsupervised for the next 6 days.
I'm scared.
Tim's, wow. Tim's putting it in a KFC bucket and trying to
turkey himself. He's going to sit on a sofa with a KFC bucket
turkey
every day and just going to be eating... He's just not going to move. He's going to sit on the sofa with the KFC bucket on his lap, and that's all he's going to do.
Like, he's going to convince himself that it's real.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? So I just want to touch on the national days here, so real quickly, right? There, believe it or not, there's only one national day today. Just one.
What stupid one is it now?
National Trick Shot Day, founded by the Globetrotters.
See what I'm talking about.
See, the Globetrotters basketball team, as you know, they're just a fun thing, right? So they got their own day, National Trick Shot Day. And that's it. That's the only national day today on November 3rd. That's it.
Good job.
You know, so I'm not going to get into that November is National So-and-So Month. I'm not going to get into that because there's way too many stupid ones, and I don't even want to share it but that with anybody. It's
3 days into December, and that's a stupid one.
That's it. And other news, sadly, there is not going to be a fat-ass Santa Christmas giveaway this year.
No.
You know, it is because I've talked to a couple.
Santa lost his ass?
Well, maybe. I don't know. But I talked to a couple of the sponsors of the show, and everybody's had a rough year. So, and I feel I don't want to ask anybody for, you know, stuff to give away. I think, you know, let them get their acts together that, you know, they can have, just regroup, you know, just let things go. I don't want to say, hey, can you send us stuff? No, I decided to just let that go. So, and it's expensive too. It's pricey for me, for the items that the sponsors aren't sending out. It's expensive for me to mail all this stuff out. So I'm going to give myself a financial break this year and not do that.
There you go.
Yeah. Makes sense. Right.
Makes sense.
So what we're going to talk, oh, by the way, one other thing, is that Beach House Harley Davidson is no longer Beach House Harley Davidson. They got sold, as did Carolina Coast Harley Davidson. They both got sold, and they have both have different managers now. So I met with the general manager down here, and he's now it's now called Seabreeze Harley Davidson. They sold out. So I met the general manager last week. We had a nice little chat. And we're going to be featuring some of their stuff on our calendar. So
are they owned by like a single owner or is it a group?
It's a group. They're owned by a group, believe it or not.
You know what's crazy is when I left the industry, that was like the way that it was going.
Yeah,
was that any dealers that were individually owned,
right,
were just getting bought by like these dealer groups, and it was starting to seem like, you know, sooner rather than later, yeah, you may have 600 dealerships, but you're gonna have 10 dealer groups that own them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so
they just changed your website like, already.
Yeah, they did. So now let me ask you this, so if it's a dealer group, does that mean mm-hmm. that it's mostly, is that just investors who own this? Or is this actual just a group of very wealthy people who decided to buy all these Harley Davidson?
Even more corporate than it was before. That's
what it ends up becoming like. It ends up becoming like a corporate entity. So basically, what you would have is like, well, like say for example, you were going to do it, right? Like, yeah. Say you're like, okay, you own Beach House Harley Davidson, and you want to expand. You know, so you end up buying Carolina. Harley Davidson and fucking, you know, this, that, and the other, and you start buying multiple dealerships. Well, what ends up happening is you're going to have different people take care of, you know, different things. So you start to grow that umbrella, you know, in the sense that it's like, okay, well, now you can't just have a manager. You're going to have a manager for each store and then a manager for that manager. And, you know, it just becomes like a little bit more of a corporate entity.
So, largely speaking, many of the Harley Davidson dealers in the country are not privately owned, is what you're saying.
Well, no, they're privately owned. It's just becoming like, they're not as individually owned. Doesn't mean they're not privately owned. It just means that they're not as individually owned as they were, meaning a lot of these dealers own multiple dealerships versus just owning one.
Right. Like I get, like for example, when I was back in New Jersey, Asa Murray owned Ocean County Harley Davidson and he owned Shoreline Harley Davidson. He owned he owned both of those things. He eventually closed Ocean County Harley Davidson. So so basically that's what you're saying. It's like one person owns several dealerships.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I'm trying to think of like who's the one? I'll think of it, but they own like four or five of the dealerships, like right in our area.
Oh, really?
It's like all owned by like one. Yeah.
I think Tremonton Harley Davidson close? I think they did.
Tremonton closed, but they didn't. They were like one of the original dealers.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, in the state, definitely. Yeah, but
well, in the state for sure, but in the country.
Oh yeah, no. So
they were like one of the originals. Yeah.
So there we are. So that's pretty interesting. So if I wanted to own if I was able to buy and start my own Harley Davidson dealership, I would have to, would I be grouped or would I get bought in or bought out? Or is it just like I could say, fuck you guys, I'm my own dealership?
No, you can absolutely be your own dealership. Oh, yeah. But I'm saying if you become a successful dealership and then all of a sudden you're like, I want more, and you decide that you want the next closest dealership to you, and you go to that guy and you go, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to make you an offer for your dealership. And that guy might be like, fuck it, I've been thinking about retiring. Yeah. And then you buy, then you acquire his dealer, you know, and now you have two.
Yeah.
And now you have two dealerships that are really successful. You're making money hand over fist. And what's better than two is three. You know what I mean? And you just grow. There's nothing wrong with it. It's people that have grown. It's not like somebody's showing up one day to Harley and going, I want to buy seven dealerships. It's not happening like that.
Yeah,
these are acquisitions over time. But what I'm saying is it just seems like anymore when a dealership changes hands,
yeah,
it doesn't seem so much like it's changing hands to an individual. It seems like it ends up getting sold to somebody who already owns other dealers.
Right. Okay. Right. Rather than a group of several.
It doesn't seem like, hey, him sold his dealership to Ted. It seems like him sold his dealership to that guy that owns Ford dealership. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, we know somebody who had their business. Somebody wanted to buy their business so they could take it and then part it out and sell out all the all of its positive traits so they can make more money, which a lot of companies do. They'll buy it out and then sell it off.
They'll just liquidate it. Right. They'll just liquidate everything out of it. Yeah.
Because it's more money worth more party apart than it is together.
You can't really do that with Harley, though.
No, you can't. I'll tell you what, though. I was in Beach House Harley Davidson, I will say 2 months ago, and their floor was packed with motorcycles. Packed with motorcycles. And I went in there this past Sunday for the first time since they got taken over, and they only have about a dozen bikes on the floor. And things are changing inside too. They've already added some walls and they're doing other stuff in there. So the new manager, the general manager, he's making some changes over there. And they've got, because they've got, like, Tim, I don't know if you've ever been on the second floor in that place, have you?
No.
Okay. On the second floor, they've got this thing they call a lounge. Now, when it was Beach House Harley Davidson, they never did anything with it. They only had their hog meetings up there. That was it. And they've got a bar up there. There's a bar.
Wow.
A bar.
I was up there, and I don't remember that.
Yeah, there's a bar up there. And they've got big sofas, and they got a big-ass TV up there. But nobody's ever up there, ever. Now, when they have an event of some sort, they usually serve drinks or whatever. When I say drinks, you're serving, like, soda, orange juice, you know, stupid stuff like that, like soft drinks, right? So I said to the general manager, Sean, I said, you know, that's such wasted space up there. You guys should be doing something with that. You know, make it a freaking convenience store, for God's sake. So dudes come in here. He goes, yeah, we're going to do something. I got plans for up there because it's a waste of space is what it is. So he's going to turn it into something up there and all that. So he's got big plans for that dealership. And I'm really interested to see what they do over the next few months. And we're working on this partnership with the podcast somehow. So, okay. Anyway, back to where I was. So, yeah. So, things are going to be pretty interesting. We'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. So that's that. So while I was there yesterday, it's fundraising season, and Toys for Tots was set up there. They did their annual thing over at the dealership, and I'm sure most dealerships are doing a some sort of Toys for Tots thing at the Harley deals. Justin, did you guys do that at Bergen when you were there?
Yeah, and then they would do a ride.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it was called like the Toy Train, and there was like, they went to this spot that had like a big old, like an old, like, type, I don't know if it was a steam or coal type, you know, locomotive, but you know, Santa and the toys and the whole nine yards and the kids.
But pretty much, I spoke to one of the people there, that pretty much mostly Harley-Davidson dealerships are doing some sort of Toys for Tots event somewhere. So I have to imagine that. Anyway, so yeah, so they do it right, and pretty much every dealership does this with Harley-Davidson. But yeah, if you get a chance to get out there, all you got to do is bring it. You know, most charity rides, you have to give them like, you know, $25 or something like that. This particular charity doesn't want you to do that. All they want you to do is bring over a toy. So, yeah, brought over a little toy over there, stuck it in the box, and there had to be, I would say, 300 or 400 motorcycles there.
All right. Wow.
Yeah, that was
Crossroads next week is doing a toy drive.
Oh, are they really?
Mm-hmm.
The Crossroads is doing it?
Yeah, they do it every year.
Oh, wow, cool. You going to do it?
Maybe.
Yeah, get out there, get on the bike. In the freezer,
shit in a box and give it to the kids. Fuck them.
Yeah, that's the Christmas spirit.
Bah humbug.
You're not a Christmas guy, are you, Chris?
Not much anymore.
Yeah. But speaking of Christmas gifts, Here's some gifts for your V-Twin riders. Now, this was posted thanks to Larry Marshall, our good friend over at the V-Twin blog. He posted this on his blog, gearing up for the holidays, the ultimate gift guide for V-Twin motorcycle riders. Now, that would be us, V-Twin riders. So here's some of the stocking stuffers that I recommend. Feel free to comment if you think this is a dumbass idea. A bandana.
Yeah. You can always use a bandana.
Bandanas, yeah, of course. Bandanas.
Use a bandana.
Dude, I ride with a bandana all the time.
A bandana for what? What is this for?
This is Christmas gift ideas. Give that motorcycle person in your life a bandana.
A right? Danner.
Yeah, bandana. Why not?
That's cheap.
It's a branded gear.
I got like 50,000 of them.
Do you really? Do you ever use them?
I have my few favorites, and that's it. I can have a little goddamn little shop. I got so many fucking bandanas.
Chris's bandana.
Oh shoot! I just bought you 50 more.
Chris's bandanas. There you go. Well, you know what? It doesn't like, tie it around.
Line your walls with them, Chris.
You know,
look,
you just tie it around your neck and just leave it there like that, and just in case if you need it while you're riding, you can just always.
What is it, a dog?
No, seriously, I do. That's what I do. That, and just in case if I need it, if I have to put it up over my chin or something like that, or if I need to wipe some sweat off my eyes, I got it. You know, it's good to have something like that. They're also suggesting branded gear. That's like show your colors with officially licensed Harley Davidson or Indian motorcycle apparel and accessories. So, I don't know. I mean, do you want branded stuff? No?
I don't know.
Dude, think about the amount of people that are stoked to get Harley shit.
Oh, hell yeah. But you know what? I imagine that all the other motorcycle manufacturers, your Honda, Kawasaki, BMW, yada, 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 I imagine they have branded stuff as well, but if they do, I'd never see anybody wearing the shit. Never.
Because who the fuck wants to wear a Honda shirt?
Yeah.
Well, that's true. You got a point there.
I mean, you got the street racers that guys out there. Don't wear the Honda stuff.
I never see it. I've seen Triumph t-shirts more than I have seen.
That's a cooler logo.
Yeah,
I do kid when I say that. By the way, yeah, somebody out there Honda shirt right now is writing you a very nasty email. So I kid when I say.
Remember,
that.
if you want to send an email to anyone of the podcast, but you go to the
I
website.
Will say that one of the things that Harley does differently than the majority of those brands. Is
the marketing.
Well, and it's how they brand themselves. They themselves as a lifestyle. They don't brand themselves as a motorcycle.
Exactly.
Whereas these other companies aren't. It's not that one's doing it better. It's that they're not trying to. Honda's not trying to make it a lifestyle. Honda has so many different things. They don't need to.
Right.
You know,
right.
They have their hand in everything.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like racing, cars, bikes. I mean, you name it, dude. Airplanes. I mean, they fucking got their fucking hand in everything. So it's
boating. They got Honda engines and boating. Right. So they're everywhere. So, you know? Well, you take Kawasaki or Yamaha or any of those other ones. No, that's it. Well, Yamaha is musical instruments and other things, but, yeah, most other motorcycle manufacturers are—they're not right. Their branding is a little different. Definitely Harley Davidson and Indian.
Yeah, they're not nearly into stuff like Justin said, is Honda or Yamaha.
No. So nobody, to Justin's point, brands themselves as well as Harley Davidson does. Absolutely does not. You know. But anyway, the other things you get, leather TLC, you can get, that is your leather supply kits to keep your leather nice and supple. So
nice.
Yeah, cleaning kits and stuff like that. Chrome shine, you get stuff to keep your chrome nice and shiny on your bikes. These are gifts you can give to your V-twin rider. It's keychains. That's stupid. I would never do a keychain. I would never give anybody a keychain for their motorcycle. That's just, no, wouldn't do it. And that's your mid-range stuff, like from between $30 to $100. I mean, how much are you really going to spend?
Don't ever buy me a $100 keychain.
Yeah, exactly. Who wanted a $100 keychain, right?
If I find a fucking keychain in my stocking and you like accidentally left a tag on it and there's a $100 like sticker on it, I'm going to fucking hit you with the keychain.
Exactly. Oh, my God. And if you want to spend between... Okay, that's under $30. But if you want to spend between $30 and $100, you can go move it on up to things from Curiakin or any of the other Revzilla or Cycle Gear. Some get her some comfort stuff. Or
yeah, well, you know, a lot of other makers outside of Harley make, frankly, some of the stuff other makers make is better than Harley.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, like even, well, even bags. Well, like, for example, like with Revzilla, you can get anything on Revzilla that you might need for your bike. And the thing is, what's cool about Revzilla is they're not geared just towards American V-twins. They're everybody. You know, if you want to, you know, you go to J&P Cycles if you want something V-twin, American V-twin. That's where you go for that stuff. Getting a bag for somebody. You know, if you feel like, you go to Viking Bags.
Viking makes great bags.
Viking Bags makes great stuff, and they've been very kind to the Motorcycle Man podcast, and they've sent us stuff, a lot, to give away, and I've given away quite a few things from Viking. In fact, they just contacted me again.
I have a Viking backpack.
Right, still, and you still use it, right?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's hard shell, and I like it.
Yeah, and they're offering me again to get, because I was going to ask you if you needed a new backpack, but they're offering me again. No. To give away some product. And I was like, sure, just let me know. But yeah, you get yourself something from Viking. Just, you know, and the things, you know, like, I don't know. Well, luggage stuff, I don't know. You can't really get luggage for somebody, you know, as far as it goes for, that's kind of personal, really. Motorcycle luggage, that's something I think the rider themselves needs to pick out.
Yeah, that's where you give a gift certificate or something.
Yeah.
You know, this is a tricky thing because, you know, when it comes to certain things, doing a nice thing can end up becoming Tim, you just picked up your guitar, right?
Yeah.
So say somebody wants to buy you a guitar.
You're not going to say
if no. Somebody, if somebody's buying, yeah, but here's the thing. If somebody's buying you a guitar, that's something that you've got to like, pick out. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody else buys you a guitar, unless they're like, I know that this is the exact guitar he's looking for.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
like,
I get it.
I know that's just an example because he picked it up, but I'm saying, like, that there's a lot of things out there like that. Like, you can't just go and buy somebody a motorcycle, like, unless it's like, I know he wants this motorcycle, because think about how many bikes that we've ridden that are like, it wasn't comfortable, it didn't feel right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, shit like that. You know, it's like... It ends up taking like a really, really nice thought, and then it makes it weird. Because what are you gonna do? You're gonna return the fucking motorcycle? Like, no. You're gonna return the guitar? Like, no. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it's one of those things where like sometimes you have to just know, like, I gotta let them get what they're looking like. Even if you want to do it,
yeah,
put it in a fucking card with a picture of a fucking bike and be like, surprise, I'm buying your fucking motorcycle, and you pick it out. You know what I mean?
You know, and I've said,
I'm buying a guitar, but I want to make sure that you really get the one that you want.
Right.
You know?
Well, I've said for years, I stick by this, make up a Christmas list. Things that you would like, or even it's just a yearly, if you want to buy me a gift, here's a list of the things that I would like. If you want to buy me some, this way, you're not going to get something you don't want. And,
exactly.
And get yourself into that awkward situation like you suggested, Justin, right? You know, if somebody were to buy Tim a guitar that Tim absolutely knows he absolutely freaking hates, and that shows up under the tree, now Tim's got this awkward situation where he's got to say, you know, this is a piece of shit. I really don't want this. You know, or, you know, how's that guitar? Well, I had to sell it. So,
you know, you get to a certain age when you're an adult, and it's just like, don't, you know, let the person buy what they want. You give them a gift certificate or something like that.
Yeah.
Don't you know,
here's the thing.
Don't buy me fucking something stupid or something you think I like.
Once you're an adult at this point, we get what we want when we want it anyway.
Yeah.
We really don't wait for things or ask for things.
Yeah.
So it's like Christmas is, should be more about hanging out with people you want to be around with.
Sure. Yeah, there's
than
that.
Anything yeah. else. My personal thing, because there's nothing anybody can get me that I can't get for myself. Right. I'm established. You know, I don't need all that.
No, that's
I'd
true.
Rather spend time with the people than spend time with right. giving me a gift just for the sake of giving
but
me
you
a
know,
gift.
The giving of the gift is also the fun part, too. So that's pretty funny. But
yeah, well, it's a catch-22, because if you give something somebody, you know, something more expensive than what they gave you, well, then there's that awkwardness. Yeah. I know it's not.
Well, if I were to buy you...
It comes down to that. Whether you want it to be or not, it comes down to that. How much did you put versus
well, it's like,
that kind of thing.
I get it. I mean, if I were to buy Chris a new motorcycle, I would not expect him to give me something of equal value back, you know? But I would expect Justin
yeah, but
to.
Man, what if he bought you a motorcycle? You would feel like shit because you gave him a gift card.
I would be forever.
You know what I'm saying?
I would be forever indebted to him for that. You know.
Yeah. But you understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. You know.
Somebody's gonna feel bad.
Nah, no, that's not what. No, not really. But no, I totally get what you're saying, Justin, about that. You know, no. The idea is if you're gonna get something for your motorcycle friend or family member, or whatever, know what they like first before you go and purchase it. You know. They may not want this squishy red rubber ball. So whatever, but don't get it though. Personal things like one of the other suggestions is eye protection. Now, that's not really something you can buy for somebody that's kind of personal. You can't, right? You can't because somebody might put that on and go, like, I don't like the way these feel, you know? So tools.
Saddlebags were the prime example. You might want hard bags, not soft bags. You might want quick detach. Right. Or you might want permanently mounted. You might have had something in mind for the direction that you wanted to take your bike.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're going for a certain look that you've been kind of working on over the years, and then somebody's like, hey, I bought your fucking bags, you're like, fuck.
Yeah. Or even, even, you know what I mean? Or even like a tank bag, for example, right? Like things like tank bags or windshield bags and things like that. If you're going to buy something for them, make sure they need it, first of all. And
or
that,
want it.
And then that they want it, or make sure that it'll fit their bike. You know, that, so yeah, it's kind of up for interpretation, I guess. And then the final thing is choice is king. Let them get their own treasures with a gift card, right, Chris? Just give them a fucking gift card, man. But you know,
I tell everybody now, even my friends, is like, don't buy me something fucking stupid. I'm gonna throw it out right in front of you.
Yeah, just yeah. Look, if you don't know what to get me, just give me a gift card. That's it. That's the best thing to do.
I'm with Tim on this. That I feel like, you know, as you get older throughout the course of the year, you know, you make these decisions where if it's something that you want and you know, you can justify.
Yeah.
You're going to just buy it then. You're not going to wait in the event that somebody wants to buy something for you. Whereas if you're a kid, you know, you don't necessarily have that luxury. So it's like, I mean, yeah, there's lots of things that we want that we may never get or may take years to get. I'm not suggesting that, like, you know, you wake up tomorrow and you're like, I've always wanted a speedboat. So I'm going to go and buy a fucking speedboat. But like, you know, like little things, you know what I mean? But it's like, it makes it tough at holidays, especially when people are like, well, what do you want for Christmas? Because it's like, I don't know, yeah. You know? And I agree that I feel like as you get older, that what it really just ends up being about is hanging out with, you know, friends, family, you know, people you care about, and then people that you don't get a chance to necessarily see as often.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can live, you know, 40 minutes from a relative and end up seeing them twice a year, you know? So it's like one of those things where it gives you an opportunity and that's, you know, that's kind of a gift in itself. So
absolutely.
I feel like that's,
sure.
You know, that's the cool thing as you get older. I mean, there's some years that we all kind of make an agreement and it's like, well, it's like getting anybody anything because why stress out? Why spend money on, like you guys said, shit that you may not end up using, you know what I mean? If somebody's just getting you something on principle and it's just going to take up space in your closet.
Yeah.
You know, that's an unnecessary stress.
Yeah. Don't get me something just to get me something, you know, if you want to, you know, that's why I always make a list every year. There's something. And nine times out of 10, when I make up my list, it's something that I need or something that I've been wanting for a while to add to something that I already use.
I'm going to just clean out my attic and just give people things they don't want.
There you go. That's it. Just like in just like in Christmas Vacation where the woman wrapped up her cat.
Yeah.
Now, for those people who have an exorbitant amount of money to throw away, you know, and you want to get somebody something. Here's where you go. You buy them, according to this article, you buy them an excursion, an experience, like a destination to like the Harley-Davidson Museum or the Barber Vintage Motorsport Museum in Alabama. So you buy somebody a pass or a vacation to these places. Or you pay for a tour company with a company like Eagle Rider or Twisted Road. That's a bit much. Or a membership to Hog or Indian Motorcycle Riders Group. Now, I used to do that for Tim and Chris. I used to get you renew your Harley Davidson Hog membership each year.
No, you didn't. Yeah, I never had a Hog membership.
Yes,
ever.
You have. Never. Yes, you have.
Yeah, hey, I used to get them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I never got anything from Hog, so.
Well, if you didn't get anything from them, that's their fault. But I always bought you a membership for
it. I never got anything.
That's weird.
That's why I'm saying I never got it.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Now, personalized gifts. Now, here's where it gets. This is where it gets super expensive. Like helmet art. If you want artwork done on your helmet, and you can give it to somebody, you'll have to pay somebody, a local artist, to paint your helmet. It can get expensive. Engraving memories, having something engraved on your motorcycle or have something engraved for you.
I knew it. All this was a lengthy sales pitch.
No,
there we go.
I'm reading from the article.
He was leading.
This is a perfect segue for Ted to introduce his new company. Live from the Ted Shed, Ted's mobile engraving service.
No, it's actually a lead up to something else I'll get to later.
I should have seen it coming a mile.
No.
It was
or
I gotta hand it to you, buddy.
I'm just slipping it in there just now. This last one, and you can all agree with me how stupid this is, but decorate their space with a vintage motorcycle sign. Or a vintage motorcycle.
I will say I like shit like that.
I have a few, so I like those things.
I have old signs, period. Like I have a ton of like old bar memorabilia. Like I have a whole bunch of old like liquor signs and some old like cigarette.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. My father-in-law, he was in the liquor business for, I don't know how many years he was in. He was a lot of years. And he would have, you know, all these display items to give away. And like not the LED, what do you call them signs? With the lights.
No, like a neon sign.
Yeah, the neon lights. He would have all these signs with neon lights on them, all various sizes, blankets, rugs, you name it. All this stuff he would be given by the liquor companies to give away.
Still got any of that stuff?
You know, honestly, I would have to ask my wife if she has any of that stuff, or if it might be in the attic. Maybe my mother-in-law has that stuff now. Maybe. Are you interested?
Well, I'm interested.
Okay, I'll find out for you. I'll find out if that stuff is still available. But, other motorcycle gift ideas? Well, we've talked about that. And that's entirely up to the individual. As far as it goes for whatever else is going on, this is going to turn out to be a very short podcast. But what do you guys have planned for the holidays? Anything?
Nothing.
No. Well, you're coming over here, Tim.
Nah, I'm not coming over here.
Christmas Eve, you're coming over.
I don't want to go over.
We've got food to eat.
It's too far away.
Just like that one mile drive that you had from your house to work, right? What was that other thing that we figured out that was a mile long?
Oh, going from home to school.
Yes, that's right. We were figuring out how far it was. Oh, from home to church. from home to church. Right, from home. When we used to walk from the house in Cranford to the church uptown, it was a mile. That's what we were figuring. So, but yeah, that was pretty funny. No, but you're coming here for Christmas
Eve.
Because we're going to have food, right?
You guys going to ride your motorcycles back and forth?
I'll book a flight.
Is this your guys... Dude, forgive me, because I'm horrific with shit like this, but is this your guys' first winter down there or no?
No. Oh, dude, I've been down...
This is our third winter.
Listen, what I said? I said forgive me.
Yeah. And no. I just want to jump on here because...
Yeah. So,
well,
cool, does it get like winter down there?
Well, dude, it's like 34 degrees outside.
Right.
Yeah, cold. No, I know, but I'm saying like, can you pretty much ride?
Yeah. Well, I rode Sunday, and it was only when I left my house. It was 44 degrees when I left my house.
Yeah. Well, let's be real, Justin. You could ride anywhere if you really wanted to.
Yeah, if you got the right gear, you're riding anywhere.
Yeah, I meant, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But
comfortably, well, that's a different story.
Well, you know what it is. I mean, I went out and on this ride on Sunday, we did a 34-mile loop. It was a nice organized ride, but it's like I call it a slinky ride. You speed up, you slow down. You speed up, you slow down. It's one of those kind of things. And
who was it with?
Well, like I said, Seabreeze Harley-Davidson hosted it.
Oh, you did one of their rides.
It was the Toys for Tots a benefit ride. So,
and how was the ride?
It was good. We went we went down 17, then we came back all the way through the center of town, and then we went down Old Georgetown Road all the way down.
I know, we heard you.
Yes. Okay. So we did that whole thing, and it was a nice.
Are you
ride.
A hog member still?
Well, I'm sorry.
Are you a hog member?
Yeah, lifetime.
Are you a local hog member?
I'm a life member, but I have not joined the local hog group yet.
Yet.
Do you belong to the one in New Jersey?
I did. I don't know, for 5 years, 6 years. I see. Five,
what is
six?
The dues? What are the dues for that?
It was $20 a year. I was a member of the Ocean County hog membership. That's where I was.
Did you do their rides and their events and stuff like that?
I never did. I always meant to, but I never got around to it. But
the hog chapter at Bergen, I imagine still is, but at least was incredibly active. Like those members, like all did. Everything, like any event, they were all there. Yeah. Meetings, they were all like, it was like, though that was a very, very active hog chapter as far as participation went.
I like that. If you're gonna have a club like that, you know, have the events, get the people out there, and it's great to hear that group actually took it seriously, where they would get together and create that community within the dealership. I think that's
awesome. They did everything, even if there wasn't like organized events.
Yeah,
Hog chapter, like they just became, that was like their friends. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, you know what I mean? Like that just ended up being like, they would do their own dinners together and shit. You know what I mean? Like it was.
That's
it
great.
It was definitely
That's great.
There's a camaraderie there for sure.
Of course. You know, and that's how you bring the motorcycle community together. It's how you make new friends. And, you know, I think it's a great thing. I wish more hog groups, or better, I wish that more motorcycle groups did that. You know, like for years I've been saying it and I haven't done it. There's a Motorcycle Men podcast group on Rever, and I've never set up a group ride, even when we were back in Jersey, and I haven't done it here because I don't even know if there's anybody listeners in this area. But and the same thing with just the Motorcycle Men podcast itself. I've never hosted a ride. I mean, we used to do
that's not true.
Yeah, no, because we did the High Point rides, right? We did those in the past, but we just didn't do them frequently.
I did a ride.
What's that?
Can you hear me?
A little bit. Sounds like you went away there.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you went quiet.
Hold on.
Yeah. But yeah, we just haven't done that enough. I just think we need I need to host more rides, with, you know, starting with the podcast. We're going to start a ride here. We're going to go to here. And that's, I need to do that more often. And I apologize.
We got to hear from the, if there's anybody in our area.
Well, you know what it is? I can't rely on that anymore. I used to hope, like, well, let's hear the listeners respond. But the listeners don't, you know. I can't count on that. So I can just say, I'm going to have a ride here and here. We're going to start at the Seabreeze Harley-Davidson. But I'll also have to post it at Seabreeze Harley-Davidson. Going to do a ride. And because there's dudes over there.
That's how you cross market, right?
So yeah, like, exactly.
You'll get people that'll end up, that are maybe local, that'll show up. But then you'll have people at the dealership that, you know, are already
going to go on group rides.
That now might be like, hey, I didn't know that podcast was out there, and now they're listening.
Exactly.
You know, and then after 10 minutes, they'll be like, this is a mistake, and then they'll stop listening. But, you know, you'll have them for a minute. You know, you'll have that cross.
Sure.
No.
But yeah, we definitely got to do
that.
And
it works, you know what
I mean? It's an opportunity to A, get people out there, and B, to get more people to learn about the podcast. You know, that could be good and bad, but either way, it's just get people out there. You know, that's important. But yeah, this, as far as goes for what's going on this season, I mean, I've already started making plans for 2025, what I'm going to do for rides. I don't know if you guys are making plans for any of that.
Well, you know what you can do, actually, which would be kind of cool.
What's that?
Not to give you more shit to do.
Go ahead.
But you tend to travel and take motorcycle trips.
No, I don't do that, do I?
So what would be kind of cool is if you started like you know, like say each year you're going to go to like, you know, two different states or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or you're going to hit a couple of, you know, this way, like each year you're hitting different places. And every time that you know that you're going somewhere, like whatever your destination state is, you know, you'll know that in enough of an advance type thing. You can set up a ride there for whatever listeners in that area. So it's like, not only is it giving you an excuse to be like, hey, you know what? I've never been to fucking Kansas. You know what I mean?
Actually, I have.
Then you get there, you know, and you can have a ride. It doesn't matter where you live in the country, because at some point or another, you know what I mean, you'll be there.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to do a ride.
Of course.
And it gives you a chance to meet people in person, gives them a chance to get out, gives you a chance to get people that we've never met before lost. I mean, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah. Or I could say, well, you can host a ride. You just give me your address, and I'll tell everybody where to meet you at your house, and go from there.
Yeah. Hmm. Actually, you could do something like that on the website too.
Yeah,
like a forum type thing.
Sure.
Where like if people want to post rides for other motorcycle people, you know, like from the podcast, if they want to link up, you know, give them an opportunity to link up with each other.
Yeah, because one of the things that I was talking to Sean over at Seabreeze Harley about was I want to start doing some Sportster specific motorcycle rides. So I'll post a ride. Sportster Sickness, we're going to head out, we're going to start here, we're going to do a 50 mile loop, and then we'll meet back here, or we'll go to some restaurant or something like that. So he loves the idea of just doing a type motorcycle type ride. In this case, it'll be Sportster specific rides.
There was a Sportster specific ride, I can't remember the name of it, but that was the deal.
Yeah, get Sportsters out like that. The Heritage Day, just have people on Heritages come out, you know, stuff like that. But that's part of my other plans is I'm considering riding down to Daytona for like a weekend or something like that. It's only
not a long ride.
No, it's 8 hours. It's an 8 hour ride from here. So I'm considering going down there and you know, maybe staying at my stepbrother's house down in Jacksonville. But hitting the rally there for a few days. And I've already had two of our sponsors mention that they're going to be there. Craig is going to be there from Wild Ass Seats. And also, I believe our Chris from Scorpion Helmets is going to be there. I believe that's what we're talking about. And one of the guests that we've had on the show said they're going to be down there too. Said they'd like to see me and all that. And a bunch of other people, of course. Are you going? I get asked all the time, you going to the donut? Are you going to the donut? I'm like, ah, you know what? Maybe I'll go. So we'll see what happens.
You've never been, right?
I have never been. My interest, my real main interest in wanting to go to Daytona is mostly to go to the Daytona Speedway, because I know they got a whole crap load of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I want to go see. As far as it goes for everything else, I mean, there's no riding to speak of. Like you had mentioned it's, that once before, too.
Yeah, and it's like everything's kind of spread out.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Compared to, yeah.
Yeah. And my other thing I have planned is for my, because I'm not going to, I mean, I would love to go to Americade again, but that's an expense. So I have to think about that.
Isn't everything expensive?
It's, well, not necessarily. For example, because my plan, it seems how I may or may not go to Americade. The other thing I'm definitely going to do is I'm going to do the Skyline Drive Blue Ridge Parkway thing.
Yeah, you got to do that.
I'm going to do that.
Oh. What were we just talking about?
We were just talking about that that Switzerland of North Carolina.
Yeah.
So I know I have to look up where that is, because if it's anywhere along that path of the Blue Ridge Parkway,
I think it's somewhat near that.
Okay, I think I'm going to hit that. Now, my plan is to do Skyline Drive starting in Virginia, ride down, connect with the Blue Ridge Parkway. When I get to the end of the Blue Ridge Parkway, then to hit the Cherokee Parkway, and then bring back with the Tail of the Dragon, and then come home. But
yeah, that'd be a fucking great ride.
But it's going to be something like, and don't quote me on this, something like 1,400 miles. But if I can throw in that Switzerland of North Carolina in there, that'd be great. I'd like to hit all that. So we'll see. That's the plan anyway. We'll see. And that's going to be camping. That's going to be a camping trip partially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you know hotels are expensive, so we'll see how that goes. We'll take that. We'll take that as it is. Let's do. Tell you what. Let's do Bennett real quick, and then we'll come back. We'll go over the other stuff, and I got one more thing I want to talk about, and then we can call it. So let me do Bennett real quick. Right?
Go.
Where is it? All right, boys and girls, the Motorcycle Men podcast is brought to you by Scorpion Helmets, offering high-quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at an incredible value. So to learn more, get on over to ScorpionUSA.com and Wild Ass Seats to improve your comfort and ability to stay in the saddle longer with a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you're tired of those painful pressure points and fatigue, get on over to wild-ass.com and make sure you tell the real Craig Johnson that the Motorcycle Man podcast sent you on over. Get yourself a cushion. And, of course, as always, Tobacco Motorwear for the best in casual riding gear. That's what you do. You get over to the Tobacco Motorwear and get in Dave's pants. Visit them at TobaccoMotorwear.com. That's TobaccoMotorwear.com. And all of our listeners will get 10% off your order when you use the code MOTOMEN. Your safety is worth it, so get on over there and get into Dave's pants. Got it?
Got it.
All right. And, of course, we're all supporting also the... Why'd that start again? Stop. And we're also supporting David's Driven Cancer Foundation and Gold Star Ride Foundation, too. So look into that. Okay, so the big thing, mailing list, we got no questions from the mailing list at all. Nobody asked us any questions, unfortunately. No. Yeah, so everybody went quiet. And so if you want to support the podcast, get on over to Buy Us a Coffee, and you can buy the podcast at Coffee. The link for that is on the homepage of Motorcycle Men website at motomenpc.com. And don't forget to check out the Ride with Ted videos on YouTube. I've been away for a week or so. I haven't put out a video. I got a video on the board right now that I'm working on. So that'll get out within the next couple days. So
check also, out. Don't forget to support Ted's new engraving venture.
No, now instead of the engraving adventure, I have a very special announcement. This has been an ongoing project, and I finally completed it. And I'm happy to announce that it's no.
There's no bathroom for you.
No.
Chris didn't say anything this whole episode, but he came in at perfect timing.
At the perfect timing, right? It is right now. You can get it. It's available now on Amazon.
Your wiener.
But no, trust me, that's not available. But available starting, it goes on sale next week on the 18th. What date is it? The 17th.
What are you talking 17th. About? You're mumbling.
So, I don't know. 18th. On Wednesday the 18th, you can get on over to Amazon and buy my new book, The Road Less Traveled by Ted Kettler. It's available.
Wow.
I wrote a book.
You wrote a book.
Oh, wow.
It's available on Amazon. Why is it not coming in focus? It's cold. Is that blurry still? Yeah, it's a little blurry.
The Road Most Traveled.
The Road Most Traveled. It's a motorcycle ride along the East Coast of America. So,
who'd you hire to read the book?
Okay, so the ebook is available right now. You can download the
Congratulations.
Ebook.
Congratulations.
Right. Thank you. The paperback will be available for sale next Wednesday, the 18th, just in time for Christmas to buy your loved one a copy. This right here, this is the proof copy for me to read, and it's all good. And that will be, like I said, will be available next week. You can buy that. It'll be on Amazon.
So are you, is that self-published? Is that through a publisher? How
this is
go?
Through Amazon Publishing. Amazon published that for me. So, yeah, nice. So it's there. And it's 267 pages.
And we're all getting autographed copies.
Now, if you guys, I'm going to ask you now, if you want a copy of the book, let me know, and I will send you a copy of the book.
I would like a leather-bound gold.
I would like my apartment to smell of rich mahogany. Yeah. And yes. Leather-bound book.
Well, leather-bound hard copy, you're going to wait a long fucking time for that. But, the book's available. What else I wanted to say? 267
like,
pages.
I'd like a signed digital copy, please.
A signed digital copy.
if you can make that one work.
No. The audiobook is in production right now. It's being worked on right now.
Are you reading it?
Yes, I am. I'm narrating it. So
you're voicing it?
I am voicing the whole thing. Yeah. So it will be. I hope to have the audiobook finished.
I'll be right back.
Before the end of the year. It takes a while. It takes a long time to do it. So I hope to have it done soon. Well, maybe not. We'll see.
The audiobook?
Yeah.
Do you just record it and then send that out, or are you like editing it and doing the whole
thing? I do the whole thing.
That's crazy.
Dude, so what I got to do is I have to, the way it works.
I can't even imagine, like, dude, if I wouldn't get three sentences in before I was like, I can't do this.
Know what it
if
is?
If I had to, like, edit all that stuff and make sense of that, my brain would explode.
Well, not for anything, but just, and it's funny we were talking about this. I just finished today narrating another audiobook. I got hired to narrate an audiobook. So this is my fourth one. My fourth? One, two, three, four. This is my fourth audiobook I've narrated. So I just finished it today. And the way that works is, because for our listeners who don't know the way that works is, I have to record each piece individually. For example, I have to read a title page, and that becomes a file by itself. Then I have to read the, if there's any dedications, that's a file by itself. And then each chapter is a file of its own. So if the chapter is, you know, 15 pages, that's a 15-page
So if the book has pictures, you have to describe the picture.
No. Pictures, yeah, no. The funny thing is, I said I've heard
I'm choking.
No. It's not a silly statement, because there have been audiobooks where I've heard where the narrator says, the picture below is a picture of, and like, well, no, you don't even include that. Because for somebody listening to an audiobook, you're not really caring what the picture is, because you can't see it anyway. But yeah,
she had supple breasts, and her nipples were very long and hard.
No. Makes so a you if you do that, yeah. Ted, on every one of them, whether it has anything to do with sex or not, just talk about boobs and stuff.
Yeah,
right. Buy the book anyway.
Well, there are some pictures in my book. There are some pictures, just a few, not many. But
are you gonna describe them?
No. There are some pictures in the book, not many, but there are a few. They're all in black and white. If for every chapter in the book, it has to be narrated individually as a separate file. And then all of those files.
So, like,
have,
if you sneeze, like when you're like on the,
I gotta
last
go back and I gotta edit it.
15, you gotta start over.
I got, and the thing is, what's interesting is what I do is when I narrate, if I make a mistake, I stop the recording, I go back, erase what I made the error on, and then I resume from where that cutoff part was. So this way, I don't have to go back and listen to the entire chapter again and re-record it. I just have to stop where I made the error. So that eliminates the bloopers reel.
So when
you
do it for other people,
yeah,
you do all the editing and all that shit too?
Yeah, I do the whole thing, yeah.
Wow.
So you're not just like sending your voice to somebody else and letting them hammer that shit out?
No.
Golly.
I do the whole thing. And then what's interesting about it is Audible has specific standards to what the audio file has to be. Like, they call it the noise floor. Basically, there can't be any noise in the background. It's like, it's got to be bone quiet. It's like, right, you can't hear shit. If I'm not talking, you don't hear anything.
How many times were you recording and the dog started barking?
Several times. Oh, worse than that, the freaking cuckoo clock goes off.
I mean, maybe just unplug it, you know what I mean?
Oh, get on. Dude, I have a clock that hangs on the wall here in my office, right? During the recording of the audiobook, I have to take that clock off the wall and put it in another room because I can hear it ticking. Mm. Yeah, so stuff like that. So, and then once I'm done recording that specific chapter, I have to go back to the very beginning, and then I have to do noise reduction, I should say. And I have to go through the file, set the noise parameters, and then I have to clean up that entire audio file from any noise. And there's really none to speak of.
Let me hear your audiobook voice.
you hear it right now.
So you don't project your voice any differently.
No,
than
no,
regular
no. Well,
talking. You're fucking lying.
No. Okay.
So you do voices.
The second year I owned the Heritage, you know, that's kind of my. It's kind of manual-ish. It's like you're reading.
Oh, I started my motorcycle. Room.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like reading. Put it this way. This book. This other book.
You don't try and like enunciate more or do anything. You just talk normal.
I talk slower. I'll talk a little slower. Yeah, I'll talk slower. But this book that I just narrated was a book on men's health. And so I guess it's like reading a manual. So I have to like read a manual, basically what it is, but I have to read slower and I have to enunciate a little bit. And dude,
you know, not a boner. It sounds like a fucking balloon stretcher.
Oh dude, man. Yeah. You know,
how many times did you have to say the shaft?
You know, it's funny, man. In this book I just narrated, I did have to talk about the penis.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's like, and I can tell you one of the interesting things about narration.
You're a sex worker is what you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you see in movies, like when they show blooper reels of movies or on TV where the cast is trying to get through a line and then they just start cracking up for some stupid reason. Well, that's what happens when I'm narrating is I'll flub a word or something like that while I'm narrating. And it'll make me crack up. And then it'll take me 10 minutes to get back to it because every time I see that word, I'll start busting up laughing again. So there were times where I had to stop and I had to walk away from it because I couldn't help myself. You know.
Well, that was what I was just going to ask. So when you do the, I mean, obviously when you're doing it for yourself, you're not under any sort of timeline. But when you get hired, do they say to you, like, this shit's got to be done by this date?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You get a deadline. I'm finished. Okay, I had to be finished by January 1st. But I'm finished. Right? I finished already. Now the thing is, I'm going to send these files off, and then the author's going to review it. And if he wants me to redo anything, he'll send it back and say, "Please do this over." And that's it. And I get paid for all this time, so it's not a big deal.
Huh. Yeah. I'm not to get too involved in it, obviously. But is that like a billable thing, or is that like a flat rate deal?
It's a flat rate. It's a per hour rate. It's a per hour rate. And it's
what happens if it's a book you read, you do the audio for, gets really fucking huge. Do you get a cut of that?
Nope. I've been hired to do this. I get paid per finished hour. So
that's fucking wrong.
Per finished hour means however long the audio book is, that's what I get paid for. So in this particular case, this book is going to be 2 hours and 51 minutes long. So basically, I'll get paid for 3 hours worth of work, about $120.
Wow.
You know, it's not huge money, but, you know, it's money. But now there is a situation where I either get paid per finished hour or I get royalty percent. And now
I would do that.
This particular author was paying per finished hour. He wasn't paying.
Oh, that's not up to you.
Yeah, so that's not up to me. It's up to the author. And hey, the last three audiobooks that I did was a royalty share, as they called it. And my royalties share for those other three books, I think, if over the past 4 years, I think it's totaled maybe $100, maybe.
Yeah, but that's going to keep going. That's
it's got to keep going, right? So in 15 years, if somebody buys that book, I'll see some royalty from it. But it's not a lot. It really isn't. You know, it's a tough market to get into. You know, I just got into it just for the hell of it and just to see if I can make some money doing it. And, you know,
If you start doing more and more books,
yeah,
you can
again,
start charging more. Of course. You know, like you're on your fourth book, so
yeah,
it's hard to ask for anything. But if all of a sudden you start getting busy,
yeah,
you
exactly,
start kind of setting the tone with people instead of people setting the tone with you.
Yeah, when people right, exactly. When people start asking for me specifically, I can really pretty much name my own price. You know, because they want the voice is what they want. So it's an interesting thing to do, and you know, it's. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I know there's narrators out there who are making some pretty damn good money doing book narrations. They're making some good money.
Listen, there's certain voices that you will always recognize the second you hear it.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the thing is...
Like take Sam Elliott's voice.
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Or James Earl Jones, right?
Morgan Freeman.
Exactly.
Morgan Freeman, yeah.
There's not a person on the planet that doesn't fucking hear two words and go, yep. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Now, I don't know of any book narrators that have gone on to doing voiceovers for movies or animation series. I don't know that anybody's ever done it. I have to imagine that some have. But...
I feel like those are too... They're too different. Because a lot of times, like, voiceover characters... tend to be, I'm not just saying like it has to be like cartoony, but like typically speaking,
it's voice acting, they call it.
Yeah, there's like something different than your average vocal, you know, your average, like, I guess, conversational voice.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, if you had if you were doing like kids books where like they needed to like sound like kind of that like playful, kind of funny voice.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
I could see that transitioning into voiceover work because, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're like, but like, I mean.
The interesting thing about the business of voiceover and narration is that it's just like any other thing like this. It's a flooded market. Yeah. It is flooded with people.
Because everybody wants to work from home now.
Yeah, well, it's not like that, but it's just like musicians are a dime a dozen, you know? Yeah. You know, podcasters are dime a dozen. Good podcasters, well, they're a dollar a dozen. That's a different story. But it's an interesting thing to get into, and I wish I got into it sooner. You know?
Listen, it's keeping you busy. You're having fun with it.
Yeah, I'm having fun with it. That's just it. It's not hard work. It's time. That's all it is. It's just time. You know, and you know, having the right equipment to do it. You know, you can't do this with an iPhone.
Like Stephen King has some horrifically long, gigantic books.
I know.
I wonder how much those guys get paid to do audio.
But you see, there with those kind of books, like his books, that becomes voice acting. Now you're not just something like this, like my book. This is what they call descriptive, where I'm just describing what's happening. Now then you have dialogue based books where now you have different characters talking to each other. Now you have to animate the voices. Now you have to become a different voice for each person.
Yeah.
And that can now even though in this book I do have some dialogue where I have conversations with other people, I am doing the voices of the other people, but I'm not animating the voices. I'm just basically just reading my voice, using my voice for that. But for like a Stephen King book, God, how many characters are in his books? I've never read one of his books, but I have to imagine that there's a lot of people in the different characters in those books. Like, say, for example, Harry Potter books. Those books are in narration. Those books aren't, they have audiobooks of those. And they, can you imagine how many characters they have to have? Oh my God. And
but
I know
you're hiring actors. But that's one person or no?
God, in those kind of books, no. They have several actors doing it. And for example, on the website, it's called Backstage, is a actor, actress kind of a resource for finding acting jobs. Now, in there, on this particular site, and sites like it, especially if you have an agent, you could say, I'm a voice actor, so no, okay. And then what they do is they look for voice actors to do the voices for a particular show or movie or animation that's coming out. So they look for people to do these parts. You know, they need a female for this role, they need a male for this role, and they describe what kind of person they need. Somebody who's middle-aged to elderly, or they need somebody who's teen to early 20s, you know, that they describe what they need, and then it's the matter of finding the right person for the part and finding the voice that they're looking for. Because, and what interest, like I said, this market is so saturated because the requirements or the requests of the requestor or the hiring party, they can tendency to get very specific of what they're looking for. You know, we want
that's to avoid.
Yeah,
probably also
being overwhelmed.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, yeah. Next, you know, we're looking for a female voice, kind of sounds early 20-ish, maybe from the Brooklyn, New York area. Maybe, right. You know, that and they get really specific like that. Or they may even throw something like has a Spanish accent, you know, so you're like, oh, okay. And even they'll do it with male voices, you know. Maybe it sounds like a distinguished Englishman. That screws me because I can't do an English accent.
You should do each chapter of your book in a different accent. I want chapter 12 to be your distinguished Englishman accent.
Be Courtney.
And I want chapter 5 to be your female Brooklyn, New York, Spanish accent.
And you have to do one in a gay voice.
There you go.
And your trans voice.
We just lost like 100 listeners just now.
Yeah. Oh, and you're fired from like 5 of your future.
Hey, I always say, if you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's it. Yeah, so laugh at yourself, kids. It doesn't get any better. That's it. So anyway, so there you go. So get over to Amazon on the 18th, and the book will be available. And you can buy that, or you can get the ebook right now. And if you don't want any of those, you're going to hold out for the audiobook. I will let you know when it's going to be available. I'm going to also put this on a Motorcycle Men website. So if you want to buy either one of those there, I'll put a link on the Motorcycle Men website. You can get it there. Okay. And I'm not doing any engraving. So there you go. It's not happening.
Not on the book. I'm not going to engrave on the book.
No.
Is there a picture of your motorcycle in the book?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There's a picture of the Sportster and my first Sportster, and also of the Heritage in here.
You don't have the new Sportster?
No. I just This is not current. This is based on what I did, not what I do.
You used Amazon Publishing. Do they get a cut of your book?
I get 60% of the royalty. So okay. I got the Heritage and the Sportster right there. Mm-hmm. Sports on top, so yeah, I got that. I got a couple other pictures in here, and but yeah, so yeah.
What's it selling for?
$17.50.
That's standard.
Yeah, yeah, and oddly enough, Amazon.
Did you pick that, or they picked that?
They set the price minimum for a paperback is $17.42. That's minimum. So I just went $17.50.
So you're getting like $9 a shot.
Yeah, like $9 a shot, yeah, pretty much. And of course, there's the printing cost too. So yeah. But yeah, I'm. Do I expect this to be a bestseller on New York Times bestseller? No, I'm not. Look,
it might be best there on the Cranford, Shallotte, North that's Carolina. Right. Yeah. Or
if it,
or you might find a couple copies making their way to the South Sandwich Islands.
Dude, oh my God, you just gave me a freaking idea. I'm gonna send one of these to the Falkland Islands. Said, give this to the guy who listens to the podcast. So. But yeah, hey, look, if I sell 100 copies, I'll be happy. You know, I hope to sell more, but...
Are they going to tell... I mean, so how does that even work? Do you have any...
I'll get monthly reports.
Oh, you'll have... Okay. There's a matrix out there.
Yeah,
for
there's
it.
Yeah, there's a month. I'll get a monthly report on the
all
sales.
Right, so at next December's podcast...
Christmas show, yeah, right.
I want the yearly update... on
how many books I sold. Well, you'll get three. You'll get how many paperbacks I sold. You're going to get how many ebooks I sold, and you're going to get how many audiobooks I sold.
What are you getting for audiobooks now?
I get the full rate, and the audiobooks going for $17.50 also. I get the full rate for that. Well, Audible gets a small cut. But because there's no production cost or anything for Audible, there's no production cost. It's all me, and there's no printing costs. There's no setup costs. There's none of that. So I will be getting pretty much the entire thing. So we'll see.
So Danielle does the audiobook deal, right?
Oh, she does. Okay. She's Audible. Okay, great.
But what she does now, she used to pay for a service, mm-hmm. Whether it was Audible or one of these other ones, I don't know.
Right.
But now what she does is she got a library card.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a library card, you have access to like a digital library, which is insane. It's got book.
Oh, yeah.
And so now she listens to all her books for free.
Right.
So my question is, will your book end up in these libraries? And if so, do the libraries buy that?
Yeah, that's what happens. For that particular case, whatever entity owns that library or runs that library, let's assume it's like the town of Cranford, like say, for example, Cranford Library, whatever entity owns that, which I believe is the Cranford government, whoever runs the library will say, okay, well, we got X amount of dollars to spend. Let's go ahead and purchase these books, and we'll purchase these audiobooks as well. And then they'll download it into their library. That's the way that works. But the thing is, in this, the way Audible works is I get paid for every one that somebody buys and downloads to their phone, to their home, or whatever. With the libraries, I only get paid once. You know, 7,000 people can listen to that same book, but they only paid for it once.
Right, I got you.
Yeah, that's the way that works.
So you don't get royalties on plays?
No. No, I do not. Because it's not on a public airways yet. So what I may do is that would be stupid. I couldn't narrate the book and just play it here on the podcast, but then essentially everybody would get the book for free. But that'd be kind of dumb, so I wouldn't do that. So there you go. So that's where that is right now. So the road most traveled motorcycle ride along the East Coast of America is out next week. Ebook is out now.
It's just the story of you sitting in traffic on the fucking Garden State Parkway. The road most traveled. It's just like, I'm still in chapter 15. I'm still at exit 137. This fucking asshole in front of me.
it's basically the book outlines what I went through, what I put everybody through, what I had to do when I rode from New Jersey to the Florida Keys. I will read to you what it says on the back cover. So it's a description of the book. Here we go. You want me to read it in my narrator voice?
I do, yeah. But in your female Brooklyn voice.
Trans voice.
So listen, boys and girls. on an 18-year-old Harley just off the lift from a major engine repair, the author sets off on a motorcycle ride along the nation's busiest highways on the East Coast of America from the Northeast to the Florida Keys. He details what he went through in preparation for the ride and shares the history of what he sees along the way. During the ride, he encounters an abundance of road construction, unruly drivers, motorhomes, and 18-wheelers. Odd sights, sounds, and smells that will accompany him along the way with a colorful cast of characters to keep him entertained on this nearly 3,000-mile journey. So there you go.
Did you ride the back?
What's that?
Did you ride the back?
Yeah.
Did you write the synopsis?
I had to.
Very nice.
That's what it feels kind of weird to write about yourself, right? So kind of like, how do I do this without not sounding an idiot? Well, I sound like an idiot anyway, so it doesn't matter. But yeah. That's
Are you proud of it?
What's that?
Are you proud of it?
I am. I've been working on it for 4 years. And from what I understand.
Silently.
Yeah. Every day I worked on it. Even if I only wrote a half a page, I worked on it. You know, but most days I did like a page and a half, 2 pages sometimes. But I've talked to a couple, Chris Koch, for example. I talked to him, and most of the other authors I've talked to, they'll spend, you know, two to 4 years on a book. And it's mostly from, and all these, everything that's in this book is from my travel notes that I took along the way. These are all based on notes. This is all, this is like play-by-play, so to speak.
Well, I guess you knew that you were going to be doing it, right?
I thought,
it wasn't an afterthought.
No, from the onset of when I was doing things, what I was going through, you know, when I was repairing the bike, I was like, you know what? I got to write about this. So I start taking my notes. And then as I'm traveling, I got to write about this. So I'm just keeping notes on everything that I did along the way. And, you know, it was an adventure. That's for damn sure. You know, doing this book, it's a lot of work. It's a lot.
You're
going to
go on your book tour.
Oh, that's bad. That would be cool, wouldn't it? Yeah. That would be cool. I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, if there's any events happening locally, I'll have to get a few copies and just go to the event. And
you going
to
sell it at the Harley dealer?
I have to talk to them about that, see if they'd be interested in that. I'm sure they would. And once I get settled, they probably would be. Because I know one of the guests I've had on the show, Larry Letterfly, who does pinstriping, he did a book. So he was at the Harley dealer on an event they had over the summer. And so I talked to him about it. He says, yeah, he goes to all Harley dealers and he sells his books. So come on out. Right? It's worth a try. We'll see. But I have other books in the fire, so to speak, working on it.
These are your erotica novels.
You know those when you go to Audible and you type in motorcycle, right? And then with the list of all the books that come up that contains the word motorcycle, and 90% of them are all these motorcycle, you know, romance novels. I can assure you this won't be with those, but that's what comes up.
50 Shades of Ted.
Oh, that would be great.
Oh, my God. That would be kind of crazy. So, but yeah, so there you go. But if you guys want a copy, I'll definitely give you guys each a copy. I mean, if you don't want a copy, it's no big deal. I get it. But if you want an audio copy, I can probably figure something out with that. I don't know how that works. The ebook, I can probably get you an ebook too. I you know, be surprised how many people like ebooks. Do you guys like ebooks?
I don't get them.
No, basically an ebook is what you download and put on a Kindle, right? And you read it on
the
Kindle.
I don't even have it.
You know, or you read it off your computer, or you read it off your phone. Nah. Personally, I want to turn pages. That's the way I am.
If I'm gonna read, I would rather just read.
Yeah, exactly right. I just want to read the book rather than just, you know. Or I like audiobooks a lot. So I've had a lot of people say that, you know, audiobooks is that's what they like to listen to, because that's the best way because they either they drive for a living.
That's what Danielle's saying, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're at their desk all day long and they like to listen to audio. So yeah, that, I can get that. So there's a market right there for that. So. But there's still a large contingent of people who would rather have a regular book in their hand. Ta-da. So there you go. All right, kids. That's it. So if you have any questions or comments or anything you want to talk about with the guys here on the show, don't forget to go to Motorman thetalkpc.com and get on over to the contact page or the Chrome Poll page and just ask your questions there, and we'd be glad to answer any of your questions you have. And that's it. There's nothing else. Anybody else have anything else you want to get into?
Nope.
Nope. All right.
Nope. I want to get into my pillow.
Oh, God. All right. So, anyway, I'll be up in New Jersey this week. So
I know. I thought we were talking about doing a live podcast, and I guess that went out the window.
No, yeah. Because Tim can't come.
He doesn't fit in your luggage. His wife's not going to be there.
Oh, right, right. But I don't know. It's... Yeah, well, I know we talked about doing it, but, you know.
He can eat as much turkey as he wants in Chris's plate.
So, yeah. But, yeah, Justin, maybe while I'm up there, we can get together just to get together. All right? Hello?
Yeah.
All right, so maybe while I'm up in Jersey. I'll be up in Jersey Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I'm coming back Sunday. So maybe if you want, we can get together one of those days.
Just
hang out for an hour at least. Maybe we can meet at the roads or something. I don't know. Well, that's a little long drive. You're up in Morristown now. Yeah,
it all depends on what's going on, but we'll figure it out.
I will figure it out, bro. All right, dudes. So I will talk to you guys later. This is Ted, Motorcycle Man Podcast, episode 414. Thanks for listening. So this is Ted and Timbuktu, as always. And Chris the Joker Nipples, dude. And of course, we got Justin.
Up. What happened?
Tim, how do you want to sign off, bro?
Ride like nobody sees you.
Hey, Chris, how about you?
Ride like everybody sees you.
Justin.
Ride like the guy driving next to you is currently reading Ted's book.
Oh, there you go.
All right, boys and girls, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode. Hey, Merry Christmas. We don't think we're going to be doing another podcast before Christmas and possibly the end
probably
of the year.
Probably not. So probably not. Like, it is Christmas, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and just 2 weeks is Christmas. That's it. So,
well, it's a week before, but yeah.
Yeah, so.
2 weeks.
Yeah, two weeks. Christmas is in 2 weeks.
One.
Christmas two, is literally three. 3 weeks.
Three weeks. Actually, 3.5 weeks counting today.
Oh. How about that? Well, if you guys want to get together on the 17th and do a podcast, that'd be great. We could do that. Why not? It's up to you guys. We can do a podcast on the 17th.
Well, we can do it that week, but I can't do it the 17th.
Okay. Well, we can do it that week. We can do it on the 18th when the book release happens. Oh, okay. No. All right. We can do that.
And if you call in, you get a free book.
Hey. Don't start trouble now, mister. All right, kids. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. And then we'll talk about it. All right, guys. Have a good night. And remember, boys and girls, we say stupid crap so you don't have to. Bye-bye, kids.
All right, keep me informed, Ted, when you're on your way tomorrow.